I suppose the most the best established both and principle in quantum physics is about things being a wave and a particle at the same time. And this is going back to the two-slit experiment, that in a way that you have these particles going through slits, but also when they arrive on the screen at the far end, they seem to be a wave. And I think there is consensus in quantum physicists that it makes no sense to ask, are we dealing with a wave or with a particle? You're dealing with something that is both wave and particle, and you can look at it one way and it's a wave, you can look at it another way and it's a particle. It's both and, the sort of either or question that we want to press really doesn't hold. So there's a kind of complementarity here. People have talked about quantum complementarity, that things are both this and that at the same time, both wave and particle at the same time. And again, there are theological implications of that, I think. People have connected this with how people understand Jesus Christ. It's been part of the traditional Christian understanding that that Jesus is both God and man, fully God and fully man, like wave and particle. Our common sense thinking wants to press the question, well, is he God or is he human? Because he can't be both. Which is he? But I think the quantum world at least encourages us to resist that kind of either-or question and to say that physics has established, as it has, that at least in this quantum world, things can be both and our common sense assumptions that it has to be this or that no longer hold. To come back to John Polkinghorne's phrase, I think the quantum world releases us from the tyranny of common sense. So there are some very interesting phenomena here that are helpful. As I said a little while ago, I'm not very keen on the idea that the quantum world allows scope for God to act in the world, tinkering around in the quantum basement. But I think I am quite encouraged by these other ways in which the quantum world releases us from the tyranny of common sense and points towards the credibility, at least, of some of the things that religious people have long been wanting to say. There's just one more bit of modern physics that I'd like to introduce, which is what's sometimes called chaos theory, which I think everyone agrees is not a very good name for it, but it's a name we're saddled with. It's a kind of physics that deals with complex systems. Systems that are so complex that they're unpredictable. And the weather is, I suppose, one of the best known complex, unpredictable systems. There are some things in the world that are very predictable and just sort of go on like clockwork. But there are a lot of things like the weather that are unpredictable, and as someone said, there are more clouds than clocks in the world, more things that are complex and unpredictable than there are things that are like clockwork mechanisms. And we're still at an early stage of understanding these complex, unpredictable systems, but one interesting thing about them is that very small changes at an early point in the system can produce massive consequences at a later stage as things unfold. And the standard quip about this is that if you have a butterfly flapping its wings in one hemisphere, it can produce a thunderstorm in the opposite hemisphere sometime later. Very small changes in initial conditions can produce massive effects later on. And if we're looking for a way of trying to understand how God can act in the universe, then I think this may be a more promising place to look than the indeterminacy of the quantum world. It's a suggestion that John Polkinghorne's made, and I'm sympathetic to it. So it helps us to kind of recast what God needs to do to make something happen in the world. The kind of problem from a physical point of view is that we can't sort of detect the points where God is acting in the world to make something happen. But then if God can act in the world in a way that changes the initial conditions in a way that's so vanishingly small that physics is not able to detect it, then maybe he can make huge things happen in the world. And again, people come back to this concept of information. And again, I think it's fair to admit that we don't quite know what we mean by information. But John Polkinghorne has speculated that when God acts in the world to make something happen, this may not be an input of energy, but an input of information that sets something in train that is so vanishingly small that it's undetectable, but can have vast consequences. It's a parable, again, for some of the things that religious people have been saying for a long time. And one can see the parallels, even if it's not right to press them too far. Jesus' feeding of the thousands, you start with something very small, a loaf and two fishes, and you can feed thousands of people with it. We seem to have something parallel in what chaos theory is telling us about this, about the world, that things can start very small, so small that you can't really detect them, but then have huge ramifications. Maybe that provides a way of helping us to understand what's going on in spiritual healing as well. Some very small and apparently insignificant input can have far-reaching consequences in these sort of complex, unpredictable systems. And as I've said, most systems in the world probably are complex and unpredictable. And just one very last thing about chaos theory, which is there seems to be a strange interrelationship between order and disorder, that you can have what seems to be incredible complexity and disorder at one level, but then if you move up a level, things can become astonishingly orderly and coordinated. Or things can move in the other direction as well, that you can start from what seems to be an orderly system and find a breakdown into disorder. And I think what this is telling us in very general terms is that order and disorder are much more closely intertwined in the world than we might have assumed they are. It almost seems that one's just the flip side of the other. And I think there's something salutary in this as well. There's something parallel to it, I think, in the moral world, that good and evil are much more closely intertwined than we often imagine. They're often much more the flip side of each other than we imagine. And I think there's some encouragement for that view in what chaos theory is telling us about order and disorder being intertwined.